the fight going forward.
If our listeners want more information, where should they go?
Well, for more information on IJV, they can go to our website, which is ijvcanada.org. Or for NoIHRA, they can also visit our campaign website, which is noihra.ca. And on both of those, they'll find many links with much more information on anti-Semitism more broadly, the IHRA, research on how it's used, as well as just more information about our organization as a whole, as well as links to donate.
Thank you for your interview today.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure.
You've been listening to Rowan Godet speaking about issues of the IJV and the anti-Semitism campaign. I am your host, Sheila Ferrando.
Hi, I'm Amy Goodman. Democracy Now! Is committed to bringing you the stories and perspectives you won't hear anywhere else. From the peace activists demanding an end to war, to indigenous leaders fighting to stop fossil fuel extraction and save the planet. Our independent reporting is only possible because we're funded by you, not by the weapons manufacturers when we cover war or gun violence, not by the oil, gas, coal, or nuclear companies when we cover the climate crisis. We count on your generous support to keep Democracy Now! Going. Please make your donation of $5, $10, or more at democracynow.org. Every dollar counts. Thank you so much. We're counting on you. Stay safe. From New York, this is Democracy Now!
I'm furious. I'm furious that yet more innocent lives were taken by gun violence. While we celebrate the 4th of July just once a year, mass shootings have become our weekly, yes, weekly, American tradition.
Six people were killed, at least two dozen injured when a rooftop gunman armed with a high-powered rifle attacked a 4th of July parade in the Chicago suburb of Highland Park Monday. We'll get the latest. Then we go to Ohio to look at the fatal police shooting of Jaylen Walker. Police in Akron shot the 25-year-old black man over 60 times after a traffic stop.
They want to turn him into a masked monster with a gun, and we knew that. But I want to thank the chief for one thing he said. At the time he was shot, more than 90 or 60 or whatever the unbelievable number will be, he was unarmed.
The city of Akron is under curfew. We'll speak to the Reverend Ray Green of the Freedom Block in Akron, as well as former Ohio State Senator Nina Turner. Plus, we'll talk to Sewell Chan, editor-in-chief of the Texas Tribune, about the twin tragedies in Texas, the Uvalde school shooting that left 21 dead and the shocking death of 53 people seeking refuge in the United States, found inside a sweltering tractor trailer in San Antonio. All that and more coming up. Welcome to Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, the War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. A warning to our viewers and listeners, our top stories include graphic details and images of gun violence. In Illinois, six people were killed, at least two dozen injured, when a rooftop gunman armed with a high-powered rifle attacked a 4th of July parade in the Chicago suburb of Highland Park Monday morning. Five of the shooting victims died on the street. A sixth died in the hospital. Victims ranged in age from 8 to 85. Eyewitnesses described a scene of terror as parents scrambled to protect their children from the attack. Following an eight-hour manhunt, police arrested Robert E. Cremo III, known as Bobby, a 22-year-old resident of Chicago's northern suburbs, an aspiring musician who performed under the name Awake the Rapper. Some of his videos depict mass murder and school shootings. Cremo's father runs Bob's Pantry and Deli in Highland Park and ran an unsuccessful mayoral campaign against the city's current mayor. Illinois Governor J.B. Pritzker responded to the shooting Monday.
I'm furious because it does not have to be this way. And yet we as a nation Well, we continue to allow this to happen. While we celebrate the 4th of July just once a year, mass shootings have become our weekly, yes, weekly, American tradition.
According to the Gun Violence Archive, there have now been 315 mass shootings in the United States so far this year. Highland Park has an assault weapons ban, but the latest news is that Bobby Cremo obtained his rifle legally. We'll get the latest on Highland Park after headlines. In Ohio, outrage over a police shooting in Akron prompted mass protest over the weekend as people demanded justice for 25-year-old Jaylen Walker, a black man shot dead by police after a traffic stop June 27. The protest erupted after police released multiple body cam videos from the shooting in response to earlier demands from the family and local activists. The newly released video shows eight officers chasing Walker after he got out of his car and ran away. The video ends with the police firing 90 rounds, hitting Walker 60 times. According to an autopsy report, Walker was unarmed when police shot him. Lawyers for the family of Jaylen Walker say after police shot him, they handcuffed him before administering first aid. Elizabeth Page White is a lawyer for the Walker family.
Jaylen was shot more times than I can count. And that is beyond troubling. We are done dying like this.
The city of Akron, Ohio, canceled its 4th of July fireworks show Monday and has issued a downtown curfew ahead of the results of a state probe into the police killing of Jaylen Walker. We'll get the latest on his case later in the broadcast. The Food and Drug Administration says it will not require large-scale clinical trials for new formulations of COVID-19 boosters. The FDA made the announcement as a panel of experts said drug makers should prepare vaccine boosters for the fall that are tailored to combat Omicron variant sublineages that are currently dominant in the United States. Nationwide, about 17% of coronavirus tests are coming back positive, the highest test positivity rate since a massive surge in COVID cases last winter. In Texas, the state Supreme Court ruled Friday a century-old law banning abortions can take effect following the U.S. Supreme Court's landmark decision striking down Roe v. Wade. The Texas ruling means anyone providing an abortion could face lawsuits and financial penalties. Whole Women's Health has since suspended abortion care at its clinics across Texas. In Ohio, a 10-year-old girl who became pregnant after surviving rape was forced to travel to Indiana for an abortion after she was denied the procedure in her own state. Ohio's trigger law ban on abortions came into effect with the Supreme Court's historic Dobbs v. Jackson ruling June 24th, banning abortion after 6 weeks of pregnancy with no exceptions for children and victims of rape and incest. Russian President Vladimir Putin has declared victory in the eastern Ukrainian region of Luhansk after Russian forces overran the city of Lysychansk. Ukraine's military says it organized a tactical retreat and will focus on preventing Russia from pressing west from the occupied Donbas region. On Monday, Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky called for the creation of a $750 billion post-war recovery plan for Ukraine, saying the rebuilding effort should be partially funded by Russian reparations and asset freezes. WNBA superstar Brittany Griner has appealed to President Biden for his help securing her release from a Russian jail after she appeared in a Moscow area court Friday for the first time since her arrest. Griner was detained by Russian authorities February 17th after customs officials allegedly found cannabis oil in her luggage. In a handwritten letter delivered to the White House Monday, Griner writes, quote, "As I sit here in a Russian prison alone with my thoughts and without the protection of my wife, family, friends, Olympic jersey or any accomplishments, I'm terrified I might be here forever," she wrote. The Biden administration's unveiled a draft proposal to lease new oil and gas drilling rights in federal waters off the coasts of Alaska and the Gulf of Mexico. The Interior Department unveiled the plan just ahead of the July 4th holiday weekend. It's the third time since November the Biden administration's announced new oil and gas leasing plans on the Friday before a holiday. The climate watchdog group Oil Change International blasted the announcement as a, quote, stark betrayal of President Biden's climate promises and the communities who will suffer the brunt of this drilling. Biden is choosing to stand with big oil and gas rather than the voters who elected him and who overwhelmingly want a swift transition to renewable energy, they said. In Australia, some 50,000 residents of New South Wales have been ordered to evacuate their homes after torrential rains brought devastating flooding to areas around the capital, Sydney. Australia's fourth round of severe flooding in less than a year and a half came as some 8 inches of rain fell in just 24 hours. Climate scientists say such extreme precipitation events are becoming more common as warming land and sea temperatures allow the atmosphere to hold more moisture. In northern Italy, at least 7 people were killed Sunday as a glacier collapsed and skidded down a popular climbing route in the Italian Alps. Rescue crews using helicopters and drones are searching for more than a dozen others who remain missing in the Alps. The glacier's collapse came as temperatures at its summit hit a record 50 degrees Fahrenheit and as Italy's government declared a state of emergency from a severe heat wave that spawned drought across much of Italy and wildfires near Rome. Italian Prime Minister Mario Draghi on Sunday blamed climate change for the glacier's collapse.
The drama was certainly unpredictable, but it definitely depended on the deterioration of the environment and the climate situation. Today, Italy weeps for those victims.
The Biden administration said Monday the bullet that killed Palestinian-American journalist Shireen Abu Akleh likely came from Israeli military gunfire, but stopped short of saying investigators had reached a definitive conclusion in her killing. Shireen Abu Akleh was shot in the head May 11th as she reported for Al Jazeera on an Israeli army raid in the occupied West Bank, even as she wore a flak jacket and helmet clearly marked press. Palestinian groups and several media organizations, including CNN, The New York Times, and Al Jazeera, have determined Abu Akleh was killed by Israel's military. So has the Israeli human rights group B'Tselem, which accused the Biden administration of whitewashing her death. Shireen Abu Akleh's niece, Lina Abu Akleh, responded to the State Department's inconclusive findings Monday.
We were expecting that such an investigation would actually hold the perpetrators accountable and would carry out a transparent investigation that is free from any political pressure. However, that was not the case. We will continue to call for justice. We will continue to call on the U.S. to carry out a transparent investigation by an independent body. In addition, we continue to call on the U.N. and the ICC to carry out an investigation and hold Israel accountable and put an end to this grotesque impunity that Israel continues to endure.
President Biden will be visiting the Middle East in a few weeks, and Chilean President Gabriel Boric has received a draft of a new constitution whose fate voters will decide in a mandatory referendum September 4th.
As president, it is my duty to call upon a constitutional referendum as I receive this proposal today. That is why we came. It will once again be the people who have the last word on their destiny.
If approved, the new document will replace the constitution created under the dictatorship of Augusto Pinochet, who came to power in a 1973 coup supported by the United States. The new constitution enshrines human rights and social programs, including free universal access to health care, higher education, and reproductive rights, as well as more robust environmental safeguards and policies to promote gender and racial equity. It also, for the first time, recognizes Chile's indigenous peoples and offers restitution for historically indigenous lands. And those are some of the headlines. This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman in New York, joined by Democracy Now! Co-host Juan Gonzalez in New Brunswick, New Jersey. Hi, Juan.
Hi, Amy, and welcome to all of our listeners and viewers across the country and around the world.
Well, six people were killed and at least two dozen injured when a rooftop gunman armed with a high-powered rifle attacked a 4th of July parade in the Chicago suburb of Highland Park Monday. The gunman reportedly fired dozens of shots at parade-goers shortly after 10 in the morning. Five of the shooting victims died in the street, a sixth in the hospital. The Chicago Tribune reports the victims ranged in age from 8 to 85. Eyewitnesses described a scene of terror as parents scrambled to protect their children from the attack. One father, Alexander Sandoval, said he hid his son in a dumpster to protect him.
Welcome back to CKUT. It's time for a little weather. Wednesday will be mainly sunny with a high of 25 degrees Celsius. Thursday will be mainly sunny with a high of 26 degrees Celsius. Friday will be cloudy with showers and a high of 26 degrees Celsius. Saturday will be mainly sunny with a high of 24 degrees Celsius. Sunday will be mainly sunny with a high of 26 degrees Celsius. Monday will be cloudy with sunny breaks and a high of 28 degrees Celsius. And finally, Tuesday will be cloudy with showers and a high of 27 degrees Celsius.
Discovering new music? This is The Station. Hi, my name is Ezra Brooks, and you're listening to The New Spins Library on CKUT Radio.
And now for some news you can use. July 1st was moving day in Quebec, but many households are still without a home. If you or someone you know needs help, you can call the housing advocacy group FRAPRU. It stands for Front d'Action Populaire en Aménagement Urbain. Their number is 514-522-1010. You can also call the City of Montreal for help at 311. And Shelter Movers Montreal needs volunteers. The organization helps victims of domestic violence leave their abusers, providing free moving and storage services. In the wake of Quebec's Moving Day, Shelter Movers Montreal has a waiting list of 2 months for these services. For more information on how to get involved, visit sheltermovers.com/volunteer. And the shelter, The Open Door, is looking for clothing donations, which you can drop off at 3535 Park Avenue. For more information, including what items are needed, visit the Mobilizing for MP Instagram page. And the menstrual equity nonprofit, Monthly Dignity, is looking for volunteers to head its communications and design team. The application deadline is July 18th. For more information, visit the Monthly Dignity Instagram page.
T'aimes pas la ville en général. Y'a ben trop de monde, pis y'a personne qui se parle. Sont stackés dans le métro, en retard dans leur routine, fixant dans le vide, ils se lèchent les babines. Tous et toutes trop fiers d'être des sardines. Chic d'envie, t'aimes pas la ville en général. Building, pis gros bonhomme drivé par l'argent sale. Trop de gens qui travaillent au salaire minimum, qui dépensent leur chèque dès qu'on leur donne pour rembourser la dette qu'on s'est créée. Comme l'air. si tu sens que tout tourne et que tu cours après le temps, prends-en pour
ice on my hand. Yeah, they come and go as they please, like they own the world. They rip the black star off my back and I got things to show, and that's how they operate.
One more time for this bad man vibe. Homers for the hearties, give it to me. One more time for this bad man vibe. Let's go home. 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 If you're happy and you know, just give it to me. Time for this bad man fight. Home is where the heart is. Give it to me one more time for this bad man fight. Let's go home. 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 Let's go home.
He searched to find your freedom.
Today's viewpoints. Wake up and smell the coffee and you could well be buying the company. That's what happened to a couple who fell in love with the local roastery on Cortes Island. They are now the proud owners of Becca's Beans in British Columbia.
We were at the Gorge Harbor Resort and I ordered a cup of coffee from the food truck and it stopped me in my tracks. I thought, this is the best coffee I've had in a long, long time. And I asked the guy, what is it? He goes, oh, it's drip coffee. And I said, no, what coffee is this? He goes, it's Becca's Beans.
We'll stay on Canada's west coast, where humpback whales have been making an impressive comeback over the past 40 years. The theory is they like the food, but at the same time, killer whales remain an endangered species. Climate changes could be responsible.
When you take the ferry to Cortes Island, you can actually see the whales feeding in the summertime in our waters. 15 years ago, you would have never seen a humpback.
And in New Brunswick, the Wolastoqué Nation has filed a new title claim. Several major corporations are named as defendants, as well as the provincial and federal governments.
Let me speak to New Brunswickers who have homes on our traditional land. The Wolastoqe Nation does not want to displace you from your homes. And while we are only seeking the return of specific parcels, we maintain our claim to Aboriginal title to all of our traditional territory.
This and more on Viewpoints.
Follow us on Twitter at CanadaLJI. Listen to all our news online at canada-info.ca.
So Bicca's Beans is a local coffee business started by Becky and Scott Newston in 2008. It is now in the care of Doug and Melanie McCaffrey. The couple moved to Cortes Island from Central Saanich earlier this year. They are overwhelmingly pleased with the warm welcome they received, as well as the wild beauty of the new island. Cortes is located off the coast of British Columbia. It's only 25 kilometers long, 13 kilometers wide. It has a population of 1,035 permanent residents. Our journalist on Cortes Island, Anastasia Avakumova, met with the daring couple, Doug and Melanie McCaffrey.
I'd like to start by asking, what brought you to Cortes?
It might have been the coffee. Well, a number of things, actually. We've always loved the area. And earlier this summer, we were at the Gorge Harbor Resort, and I ordered a cup of coffee from the food truck. And it stopped me in my tracks. I thought, this is the best coffee I've had in a long, long time. And I asked the guy, what is it? And he goes, oh, it's drip coffee. And I said, no. What coffee is this? He goes, it's Bicca's Beans. And that's what really started the ball rolling. We discovered that the owners of Bicca's Beans, Scott and Becky, were ready to make a big change in their life. And the roastery was available. And we looked into it further. And here we are, roasting coffee in paradise.
Truthfully, I think we were also looking for a quieter lifestyle at this point in our lives, slower paced, that kind of thing. So we found the ideal place, I think.
So it sounds like you're enjoying it so far.
Oh, it's just so fantastic to be here. It really is. And we've met so many wonderful people that are so welcoming and so friendly. And just being away from the rat race of Victoria has been really nice. She's really, really calling it home now already.
The couple moved here from Central Saanich at the end of October, and their very first few days on the island coincided with a marathon power outage.
That was our big welcome. Kind of 2.5 days of no power.
It was the movers leaving, driving down the highway, and the lights went out for 3 days. So here we were with all these unpacked boxes. Didn't even know where our toothbrushes were. It was a good initiation. But it's been smooth sailing since then. Everybody's been so helpful and very, very welcoming.
We're just thrilled that we be part of this community.
What we love about it is, you know, Cortes has traditionally, historically, been a working island, which really suits us. Not that we want to kind of cut back on the work aspect of life, but, you know, everybody just seems so involved in different projects and everybody seems busy but at a very good pace, which really suits us as well, and hopefully we can contribute to that. And we decided, you know, I think the world right now needs a good cup of coffee and love, sweet love. So hopefully we can provide both.
Had you had previous experience with coffee in the commercial sense?
Not.
Well, no, don't say that. We've had years and years of experience enjoying coffee, like pretty much everybody. But part of the transition was training in the roastery, a very intensive training by probably the best teacher we could ever ask for, and that was Becky and Scott. I think we've got it down pat. We've been asking people for feedback. It's all been very good so far.
So had you known Scott and Becky prior to this?
We had met them first in the summertime. I came out for some initial training in the roastery. It's like a working holiday, really. It was so much fun working with those two. And we became actually really, really good friends.
So we do supply, I think, most of the major grocery stores, like the Co-op and the markets.
And the Gorge.
But we do have some who buy it privately, just what they like and what they need. So we've got a good mix there, I think.
And people have been asking for custom blends as well. And with Christmas coming, things are heating up in the roastery.
Well, it sounds like it's keeping you busy, and I'm sure it's also fascinating just to learn everything.
Yeah, coffee roasting, you're finding, really is a blend of art and science. It's fascinating.
Mm-hmm.
I had no idea.
So I'm more of the science person, so I've been researching and learning all about the grades and the blends and the quality and all that stuff, and Doug is the artist. is. He's the one that does the roasting, and he can get creative with that, with temperature and time and stuff, and he's good at that. So it took us a little while to straighten out how we were going to work together and who does what better, but I think we've got it done. So I'm the science girl, and he's the artist.
Do you think you're going to keep the name?
I would like to keep the name, that's for sure, because it's pretty special, and it's got quite a legacy attached to it.
Yeah, you know, people are familiar with the name. I can't see making any changes there. Maybe a little bit of eventually rebranding. Yeah, I don't see any real reason to change too many things right off the bat anyway. Quite often people become a little dislodged when they reach for their favorite product and something's changed, and we don't want to be the new Coke, that's for sure.
They're considering expanding their distribution area.
We've had a little bit of interest from London Powell River. I know Becky hasn't really sold her beans off the island at all, Becky and Scott. But we're, you know, with the new water taxi going over to London, we're kind of looking into exploring dropping off some beans on the mainland, at least around London, Campbell River anyway, because they need coffee too.
Yep, coffee powers the people. Well, I'd love to also hear about your backgrounds. Just from what you mentioned in our emails, it sounds like there's so much fascinating stuff that you're bringing with you to Cortez.
Well, as a young girl, I spent all my summers when I wasn't in school on a farm, a working farm. But I really have always loved gardening and just getting my hands dirty. You know what I mean? Was a caregiver at one point and then moved to a farm market and worked there and loved it. Had a garden at my old home and absolutely loved it. So it's wonderful to be here and have a garden and be able to grow things.
You may want to mention, too, that you have soap making skills and you're also a herbologist and an aromatherapist.
Yeah, and I'm just looking into trying to replace some of the medicinal herbs that I did grow when we were in Central Saanich, because I don't see a lot in the garden here. We've been so busy learning in the roastery. And we're still trying to unpack. So, you know, we're kept busy with that. But I do plan to stretch my wings on that and meet people who are into herbology and aromatherapy as well. And Doug, yours is film.
Yeah, I also restore and scan motion picture film. I'm just reinventing my studio here right now. There used to be a couple of pottery kilns, but now there's going to be some film activity going on in that studio. I'm chomping at the bit to get going on that. You know, by the way, there's like millions of cans of film around the world that really does need help. And it's just a matter of time before this film disintegrates and it will become unwatchable and disappear. And I think that's a legacy that we should maintain. We've got a strong film heritage in this country and around the world. And I'm just doing my part to keep film alive.
You've been listening to an interview with Doug and Melanie McCaffrey, who are the new owners of Becca's Beans on Cortez Island.
New studies published by the BC Cetacean Sightings Network indicates humpback whales have been making an impressive comeback in the North Pacific Ocean over the past 40 years, but the network also says the resident killer whale population in the region remains endangered with only 74 animals. This is due mainly to motor vessel noise and contaminants found in their preferred food, Chinook salmon, that are also in decline. Reporter Greg Osoba speaks with Cortez Island naturalist and guide George Cirque and Friends of Cortez Island Society Board Chair Max Thason about their observations on the species shift.
A current report from the BC Cetacean Sightings Network says humpback whales have made an impressive comeback in the North Pacific Ocean over the past 40 years. From a population of just 1,400 in the mid-1960s to a current estimate of 18,000 to 20,000, according to the network. Sightings have become common in the North Salish Sea, also known as the Strait of Georgia. According to Cortez Island naturalist guide George Cirque, the Cetacean Sightings Network also says the resident southern killer whale population remains endangered with only 74 animals. due mainly to motor vessel noise and contaminants found in their preferred food, Chinook salmon, which the network says are also in decline. According to naturalist Cirque, the species shift is all about food.
When you take the ferry to Cortez Island, you can actually see the whales feeding in the summertime in our waters. And 15 years ago, you would have never seen a humpback. But now, the whole of Salish Sea, all the way down, has humpback whales, and they're feeding primarily on herring. So my theory as to why the whales have come back is because the salmon population has dropped. So there's more food around for the whales. And, you know, nature abhors a vacuum. And so you have the whales arriving here and they go, look at all the feed here. You got anchovies, you got herring. And so they're feeding there in these waters and gorging themselves on these fish.
Cirque regularly observes and reports on marine life in the Salish Sea and says along with the whale species shift, a new seabird is on the scene.
In October, when I was in the Discovery Passage between Quadra and Campbell River, there were shearwaters. I've never seen shearwaters in the Salish Sea, aka the Georgia Strait, ever in over 50 years of birding. This bird is related to the albatross. Long, narrow wings, flap, flap, glide. They cruise the oceans. The sooty shearwater flies, get this, 40,000 kilometers in a year. They nest in the South Pacific Islands, and they do a giant figure eight. They go off towards South America, and then diagonally across the whole Pacific Ocean to Japan, Alaska, come down our coast, and go diagonally across to Australia and the South Pacific again.
And, like the humpbacks, there's one thing drawing this new species to the Salish Sea.
And why are they here? Because of the food, right? Once again, leading back. So as the salmon population has been decreasing, I believe all these other small fish, your herrings, your anchovies, their population's gone up. Like, I was watching off the ferry, and I could see clouds of fish in the water. So these birds, being opportunistic, they've come down in the inside between Vancouver Island and the mainland, and they've come down here because of the food. So it's not all doom and gloom. You know, oh, the salmon are all dying off. Ah, but the herring are doing well, and so are the shearwaters.
Max Tyson, chair of the conservation and education organization Friends of Cortez Island, has concerns.
When I read about expert takes on what's happening in the Salish Sea from people who incorporate a climate change analysis into their work, I'm super concerned. I've personally interviewed, you know, shellfish disease researchers who describe some pretty significant events from just the temperature of the ocean changing over the last decade or two, and how that sort of spells the end of the ocean as we've known it and as it's been known for the last at least tens of thousands of years, maybe hundreds of thousands of years.
Tyson says it's important to pay attention.
As individuals, we tend to accept as normal the conditions in which we were raised, or, you know, so the health of the ocean as we've known it seems normal and healthy, and we often don't know, or at least don't have like a visceral experience of what a healthy ocean ecosystem is actually like, because it's so different from the one that we've always known. And I think that that is happening, has happened, happens all the time, and is a force that we need to use research and experts and stories to really combat.
Good morning, McGill University. This is Todor O telling you that CKUT has some of the coolest artists and tunes you can find anywhere in Canada. Present company certainly not excluded. You are listening to the New Spins Library on CKUT 90.3 FM. The songs you're about to hear will go towards your final grade, so I hope you're writing this down.
down to my last drop. I was living in the dark, and I reached the top. It's time for me to move on. I need to hear new words. I'm looking for feelings that won't burn me. I'm gonna heal. I'm gonna heal this hurt with a little harmony. Myself apart from the ones that harness the heart. I've been holding on to what goes, looking for light in the shadows. I need to you.
the light of the moon. When the Bengal Bay turns blue, night falls like the monsoon. I'll wait by the light of the moon. Someday I'll say I love you like I'm supposed to do. That day when I say I love you, it will be with you, with you, with you, with you.
Well, that wraps it up for the New Spins Library on this lovely Wednesday morning. Terminal 5 and the Sleepy King are up next. Keep on listening to CKUT.
Revolution.
The funk.
Revolution.
The funk.
The CKUT 90.3 FM in Montreal.
For your mind and for your hips, this is music and sounds from the mothership. The Mothership Cassette Archives, 25 years of funky revolutions.
Music originated from the confrontation of the struggle. So the roots really is from matter of struggle. That's where it's from. Freedom, that's what it's asking for. Acceptance, what it needs, and understanding.
You know, the funk is definitely a music that comes from your heart, and it's a music that's a continuum of the African presence in the urban world, but it comes from your heart and is informed by your mind. And once you create the balance of those energies, you can make somebody get it. You dig?
For your mind and for your hips. This is music from the mothership. The Cassette Archives, celebrating 25 years of funky revolutions.